Here's Nancy Lee DeMoss.
When there's no one there to stand with you and no one to minister to your needs, remember the people that God has used in the past to encourage you, to refresh your heart.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Friday, May 31st. When you endure through suffering, it encourages other people to do the same. And when you're suffering, you can look to the example of others, like the example Nancy's about to share. She's continuing in the series, Enduring Life's Hardships.
One of my favorite all-time books is a book called Evidence Not Seen by Darlene Dibler-Rose. This woman is now with the Lord, but during World War II, she and her husband were missionaries in New Guinea, and they were captured by the Japanese and ended up spending lengthy time separated from each other in Japanese prison camps. Her husband actually was killed in prison. They were a young, fairly newly married couple, and she endured some of the most incredible atrocities and sufferings and hardship caught in the crosshairs of World War II. And she's written that story and what she experienced and how Christ met with her and gave her grace to endure in this book called Evidence Not Seen. There's a point in this whole experience. She was in secret police custody. She is sick as can be. She has all these tropical diseases, beriberi, dysentery. She's weak. She's hungry. She's separated from her husband. She's afraid. And then here's how she describes what happened. She said, "So tenderly, my Lord wrapped his strong arms of quietness and calm about me. I knew they could lock me in, but they couldn't lock my wonderful Lord out. Jesus was there in the cell with me." We're talking about how to endure suffering and hardship. And the Apostle Paul is writing himself from a prison cell, the Mamertine prison, historians believe, down in the under the city sewage system in Rome, the most cramped, miserable circumstances that you can imagine being in. And he's writing to encourage his son in the faith, Timothy, who is a pastor in Ephesus and is running scared. He's intimidated. He doesn't know how he's going to face the opposition that is coming in those days. And Paul writes to say, here are some things that will help you to endure, to be faithful all the way to the finish line. And that's what endurance is about, by the way. It's not being faithful for the short haul. It's being faithful over the long haul. Enduring all the way to the finish line. And that's what I want to be true of my life when I get to the end, is to know that all the way to the finish line, I have endured faithfully. And in this series, we're looking at 10 perspectives or principles from the book of 2 Timothy that will help us to endure hardship. The eighth one, which we started in the last session, is remember that you're not alone. Remember that you're not alone. And we said you're not alone because you have the presence of Christ, the presence of God with you. God has said, I will be with you. Paul says, everyone deserted me, but God stood by me and he strengthened me. When I had no one else to look to, nowhere else to turn, God was there. And that's what Darlene Dibler-Rose experienced there in her cell. They could lock me in, but they couldn't lock my wonderful Lord out. Jesus was there in the cell with me. Now, I want to tell you there's another reason that you're not alone. And that is not only the presence of Christ, which if that's all we had, would be sufficient. But thankfully, God has given us the presence of others. Now, they may not be physically present in our circumstances, but through the grace of God, we can be involved in each other's lives in ways when we're not even able to be physically present. And I want to talk today about how we can minister to one another and how the body of Christ is a means of helping us to endure hardship. And how we can be a means of helping others endure hardship. And I pick up several principles and insights again from the book of 2 Timothy about how we can help each other, how we are not alone because we have each other. First of all, there's this matter of praying for each other. Praying for each other. Paul says in chapter 1, verse 3, I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Now, when you think about this, we always think of Paul saying, I pray for you, I pray for you, I pray for you. But think about where Paul was and the circumstances he was under. And don't you think you might have been tempted to start your letter by saying, please pray for me? But Paul says, I pray for you. You think you'd want the pastor praying for the prisoner. But here the prisoner is praying for the pastor. And you know, by the way, we have prisoners all across this country who do pray for the minister of Revive Our Hearts, who minister encouragement to us. Now, God uses us to minister encouragement to them as well. And we pray for each other. We need each other, and we can pray for each other. And then remember others who are suffering. Remember others who are suffering. Our suffering makes us partners with them. Paul challenged Timothy to share with him in suffering for the gospel, chapter 1, verse 8. We share in suffering as part of a great multitude, a great train of heroes of the faith, spiritual champions, spiritual marathoners, those who have run the race and have endured, some of whom were martyred for enduring. They lost their lives for their faith. And we stand in that train. We stand in that line of spiritual heroes. And I think of the fact that we have a part to play in that line. We share with others in their suffering. And then we need to stay connected with like-minded believers. We see that in 2 Timothy. Stay connected with like-minded believers. This is all part of that point. Remember that you're not alone. You're part of a body. Seek out other believers. Don't isolate yourself. Let their faithfulness inspire you. And let others minister to you. Timothy needed Paul to strengthen him when his faith was weak. That's why Paul wrote this letter. But Paul needed Timothy. And Paul needed others. And he wasn't afraid to express that. And you see it all through the writings of Paul, including here in the book of 2 Timothy. Look at chapter 1, beginning at verse 2. My beloved child, Timothy, I remember you constantly in my prayers, day and night. Verse 4, as I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. Three times in this letter, Paul says, I want to see you. Now, I think Paul wanted to encourage Timothy, but I think Paul wanted Timothy to encourage him. He said, we're part of a body. We're part of a family. We need each other. And so he says in chapter 4, verse 9, do your best to come to me soon. Come. Verse 10, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Here's Paul getting ready to be executed, buried in the bowels of the earth in this Mamertine prison, and he's thinking about doing ministry and who can help him do ministry. And by the way, who's this Mark fellow? Remember who Mark was? John Mark? The one who deserted Paul on his first missionary journey, caused the split between Paul and Barnabas? What had happened? Well, my guess is two things had happened. My guess is that Mark had changed, and my guess is that Paul had changed. And they realized how much they needed each other. Paul says, get Mark and bring him with you. I don't know where Mark was, but get him, find him, bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Verse 12, Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas. It was cold down in this prison. Winter was coming. He said, I need my coat. And bring the books and above all the parchments. He wanted his study tools. He wanted materials that he could use to write, to send other letters to people. Verse 19, greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, and I left Trophimus, who was ill, at Miletus. Do your best to come before winter. Eubulus sends greetings to you, as do Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brothers. And you're thinking, who are all these people? How do you pronounce their names? And why did Paul list them all? Because he knew we need each other. He knew he needed those people. He was connected. He stayed connected to other believers. He sought them out. He didn't isolate himself. And how often do we sit in our prison and just wallow in our hardship and get depressed and moan and groan about how hard it is, how everybody has deserted us, how, you know, everybody hates me, I'm going to go eat worms, whatever, you know. It's just life is miserable. And then we make everybody else miserable who hears us moaning in our prison cell. There's no moaning in Paul. There's an incredible spirit that I think is helped by the fact that he not only realizes Christ is with him, but he realizes his need for others in the body of Christ. And he says, come, I want to be with you. I want to be strengthened by your faith. He stayed connected with other believers. He knew what they were doing and where they were. And he kept other believers connected with each other. Greet so-and-so, and so-and-so greets you. And this guy is a guy who's connected in the body of Christ. He's not a loner. And you think, the great apostle Paul, did he need people? Yes, he did. Do you need people? Yes, you do. Do I need people? Yes, I do. Now, Paul also knew what it was to find comfort in the presence of Christ, even when he had no other people. If Timothy wasn't able to get there before winter, Paul wasn't going to moan anyway. He knew that God would give him the grace to meet that need, but he wasn't afraid to ask for help. Bring the books, bring the parchments, bring the coat, come and bring your presence, come and pray with me. Pick up the phone, call somebody, say, I need you. Send an email, say, can you pray for me? Or can I pray for you? We need each other. Remember the people that God has already brought into your life. The people who've encouraged you, the people who have brought refreshment to your heart and your spirit. Remember those people, especially when you feel that you're all alone. And you know, some of you young moms, I know we have a lot of young moms who listen to Revive Our Hearts, and they feel like it's kind of a lifeline. A woman emailed us this last week, and she said, I've got these little ones. I'm not in a season of life where I can go out for a weekly Bible study. But she said, Revive Our Hearts coming in, and my kids know that's my little break, and that's what keeps mom sane, you know? But sometimes you're going to feel very alone. Like there's a season of life there where you can't have a lot of connections with other people. When you feel that everyone has deserted you, maybe you've moved far away from family or they've moved away from you, or there are people who are opposing you, telling you you're crazy for raising your kids this way, and you feel so alone, when there's no one there to stand with you and no one to minister to your needs, remember the people that God has used in the past to encourage you, to refresh your heart. Paul did that. Look at chapter 1, beginning in verse 15. He says, all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. But he didn't stop there. He could have just, you know, bemoaned all he didn't have, all the people who had left, which is what sometimes we tend to do. But he goes on to say in verse 16, may the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. Rome was the largest city in the world in that day, the largest city in the world until the 1800s when London surpassed it. There were millions of people in Rome. How many people in Roman dungeons? But Onesiphorus came to Rome. He found Paul and he ministered to him. And Paul says in verse 18, you well know all the service he rendered at Ephesus. Paul thinks back to a time when he wasn't alone, to a time when a fellow servant, a fellow soldier was there to help him, to encourage him, to refresh him. And God will encourage you today as you think back to the people who have ministered to you in these difficult seasons. And then again, still thinking about other believers and the fact that we're not alone, develop godly heroes. Develop godly heroes. Paul was that kind of hero to Timothy. And Timothy was challenged to become that kind of godly hero to those who would follow behind him. Paul says in chapter 3, verse 10, you have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. Paul said, I've given you an example to follow. Now that means you need to follow it. Look for those who have set a godly example and follow their example. He goes on to say in verse 14 of chapter 3, as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Paul says, humbly, I modeled to you the things I taught to you. So continue in those things. You know what I've told you, and you've seen me living it out. You know not only what you learned, but you know from whom you learned it. So continue in those things. I love reading biographies of great Christians of the past. From the time I was a little girl, I teethed on them, and I continue to read them to this day. And I've been encouraged in recent days just by a message I pulled off the internet that is a biographical sketch of Adoniram Judson. And I've read his biography in the past, a biography I read in this past year, J.O. Fraser, Beyond the Ranges, I think it's called. And some of these great servants of God in the faith who serve the Lord with so much less support than what we have today. You know, today, if people are missionaries, they have internet access, they have email, they can fly back and forth in many cases. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying there are those who serve the Lord in conditions in the past, and some still today, that are just hard for us to comprehend. And so when I think my day is rough, I read some of those biographies. I read about these soldiers of the faith who endured hardship, and my faith is strengthened by these godly heroes. I have heroes who are living today, and I don't put them on a pedestal. I'm just saying these are men and women who've been faithful over the long haul, and they encourage me. You've heard me say before, I'll probably say it again, one of my great heroes in the faith, heroines in the faith, is Johnny Erickson Tada. Now, she wouldn't want that designation about herself because she feels so very weak. But I'm telling you, on days when I struggle to face whatever is in my day, the Lord often brings Johnny to mind. And I think about what it takes her that day to get out of bed, to get dressed, to get makeup on, to write her books, to paint her paintings, to do her radio program. And I think, oh, Lord, if you can give her grace, as you are doing this day, it often reminds me to pray for her too, then you can give me grace. I think of Vonette Bright, the widow of Dr. Bill Bright, and how faithful this couple has been and what joy they have had in their elderly years and how they've set a pattern of following Christ and loving him. And I want to be around those kinds of people because they encourage me to be faithful. And then learn from those who've gone before you. Learn from those who've gone before you. And as you learn from them, then remember that you have a responsibility to pass the baton on to those who are coming behind. Learn from those who've gone before, and then pass the baton on to those who are coming after you. That's what Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Let me say, by the way, there are some of you who listen to Revive Our Hearts and have listened for a number of years, you've been nurtured through this ministry, you've grown through it. Let me just encourage you to be sharing with others what God has given to you through this ministry. Not just to sit there and fill your notebook and your heart and your life with these truths, but to know that you have a responsibility to pass these things on to others. And it's so neat to see women who are taking the resources that we have available through Revive Our Hearts and are leading studies with others. I got an email recently from a woman who wants to use the book Lies Women Believe for a study she's doing in a women's prison where she ministers. I say, yes, I can't go into that prison in another state, but she can. And she's going to take these principles and these truths and minister to others. So in times of hardship, remember that you're not alone. Christ is in that cell with you, and there are others. There's the body of Christ. We share together in the sufferings of Christ. Let the body be the body to you, and you be the body to others. Thank you, Lord, for the resources that you provide for us, for your incredible presence when we think that we're all alone. And thank you for other believers, many that you've used in my own life, to lift up my hands. I think about people within the last 2 weeks who have called, who have emailed, who have prayed for me, who've prayed with me, who have listened to me share my heart and have spoken the truth to me when I couldn't think to speak the truth to myself. Thank you, Lord, for brothers and sisters and family in the body of Christ. We need each other. And I'm grateful for your provision. I just thank you that we are never, ever alone. And as a result, we can endure the hardship. We pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.
That's Nancy Lee DeMoss. As women, we all need to hear what Nancy's been saying because all of us will go through difficult times in our lives. Nancy's been helping us prepare for those in a series called Enduring Life's Hardships. Do you ever wish you could have heard a message like this when you were younger? Nancy's here to tell us how God is connecting this kind of teaching to the next generation.
I'm so grateful for the way that God is using this ministry to reach women of all different ages and in different seasons of life. We heard from one college student who wrote and said, "The past few days I've just felt like I need to get back into God's Word, but I need guidance on where to go." Well, that's when she discovered reviveourhearts.com. She said, "I've been reading transcripts and resources on your website. Thank you so much for making them free and accessible. As a younger woman," she said, "I'm so encouraged by the truth you are speaking. I'm excited to continue to listen and to read Revive Our Hearts." Well, that was just on her first day of discovering Revive Our Hearts. I'm so thankful for the heart the Lord has given this young woman to get into His Word. And I'm also really thankful that He has allowed us to provide resources to point her to biblical truth that she'll be able to apply to her life for years to come. It's because of listeners like you who support this ministry that we're able to connect with women like that college student and point her to God's Word. She expressed her gratitude for all the free content that we're able to make available because she's a college student and doesn't have a lot of extra income. But maybe you're in a place where you could support Revive Our Hearts financially. All this month, we've been explaining our current need here in May. Today is the end of our fiscal year, and it's the time when we wrap up our accounting books and we set our budgets in place for the next 12 months. Your generous gift here at the end of this month will help us finish this year strong and also help us move into the summer months when giving is usually down. All month long, we've been telling you about a CD that we'd like to send you when you send a gift to Revive Our Hearts of any size. This CD is called Hidden in My Heart. It's the second volume of a set of CDs that are lullabies. They're actually scriptures set to music. And I believe that God will use the truth of His Word, along with the beautiful musical arrangements on this CD, to counsel your heart with the truth and to calm your heart in any situation that you may be facing in your life. By the way, this CD also makes a great gift for a mom of a newborn or for someone you may know who's in a really difficult season of affliction. It's such an encouraging CD. And today's the final day that we'll be telling you about this offer. Ask us for the second volume of Hidden in My Heart when you call and make your gift of any size. The number is 1-800-569-5959. Again, that's 1-800-569-5959. Or if you prefer, you can visit us online at reviveourhearts.com. And, oh, Lord, I want to thank you for each listener who has partnered with us this month, for those we've never heard from before who are giving a gift for the first time, for those who've supported this ministry faithfully over the years and have sent yet another gift, for those who've shared with us how the gift they have sent represents particular sacrifice, for younger givers, older givers, people who've stretched and exercised faith to give. Lord, I just want to thank you for each one and pray your blessing on them. Pray that you would multiply back to them many times over in spiritual riches all that they have invested in your kingdom. And thank you, Lord, for how you've been meeting our need through this month. I don't know exactly yet where we are on that $350,000 need, but Lord, I just thank you that you are our ultimate donor with a capital D, that we look to you as our provider, and thank you for how you use your people. But thank you for how you've met the needs of this ministry month after month, year after year, and how you're going to continue to meet it this month and in the months ahead. And for all of that, we say, thank you, Lord Jesus. We're so grateful. Amen.
Next week, Nancy will continue in the series, Enduring Life's Hardships. When you're tempted to give up, you need to remember that there is a glorious future ahead. Nancy will paint that picture for you Monday. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.